You've probably seen the birthday cards or the internet memes that say, like a fine wine, you get better with age. It's supposed to make people feel better about getting older. But is it true? Well, people, of course they get better. Or at least I hope so, because I'm certainly not getting any younger. But what about wine? Does wine really get better with age? This is the Inside Wine Podcast. I'm Joe Janisch, a wine industry professional since 1996, giving you the insider information to make smart wine decisions. Today, we tackle the question, does wine get better with age? This episode is geared toward people with a casual affinity for wine. So if you're a cork dork, you may want to skip ahead through some of these parts, or you may want to skip this episode altogether. That's totally fine. Then again, you may just love the sound of my soothing, velvety voice. And who knows, you may even learn something. So I feel like there's a misconception that all wines get better with age. And I feel this way mainly because of the emails that I get regarding wines that are a little older. Maybe someone's found a wine in their grandparents' basement and it's from 1974 and they're asking, you know, Is this wine, you know, is this going to taste really good if I open it up, or is it worth something? And I do think that there's just a common misconception out there that all wine gets better with age. And so we're going to learn today whether that's true or not and how true it is and why it would be true or not true. So everything starts with the fact that wine is a living, breathing thing. The Italians say that wine is food, and they enjoy wine at the table, at dinner, because they consider it one of the food groups. And just like food, wine is also perishable. And unlike most foods, there is no expiration date or a sell-by date on a bottle of wine. Now, what you do have is a vintage date, and the vintage is the year that the grapes were harvested for that wine. You're usually going to find that vintage date on the front label. Sometimes it'll be on the back label. If it's not in either of those places, it'll be on a sticker on the neck of the label. Somewhere on the bottle, you will see the year that the grapes were harvested. Now, I'm going to throw a little bit of useless trivia that you can wow your friends with. Actually, in some cases, up to 15% of the grapes could have been harvested from a year other than the year that is printed on the label. It really depends on the region. Every region in the world has different rules about how wine can be made and what you can put on the label. And there are a lot of places where up to 15% could be from other years. Now, does that make the wine any better or worse? Not really. It's nothing really you need to worry too much about. It's really up to the winemaker's whim and whether or not he or she wants to make the wine taste a certain way, or maybe he or she just has a little extra juice from a previous year and wants to throw it into the current vintage. Doesn't really matter to you. You don't really need to know this information, but again, it's just a little piece of trivia you can throw at the next dinner party. Again, so you'll see the vintage somewhere. It'll be a four-digit year, like 1995 or 2010 or 2017, and you'll find it on the front, back, or neck label. Now, if you don't find a year anywhere, then most likely it is a non-vintage wine. That's the industry term, NV, or non-vintage. And generally speaking, actually not even generally speaking, in almost all cases, if there is no vintage printed anywhere on that bottle of wine and on any of the labels, it is not a wine for aging. It is a wine that should be consumed immediately. So let's just throw that right out there. If there's no vintage, not ageable, do not cellar it. And I would even go so far as you might want to avoid wines that don't have a vintage on it, because you won't know really when that wine was produced, which means you don't know how long it's been on the shelf, which means you don't know how fresh it is, which means you don't know whether or not it's drinkable and can be enjoyable. There is a way to figure out what the age of that wine is that doesn't have a vintage. It usually has something to do with the lot number, which is a series of anywhere from a six or seven to a dozen or so numbers. Trying to figure out what the vintage is from that lot number is, it's a challenge, something short of needing a secret decoder ring from your Ovaltine can. But honestly, for me, it's not worth the time. Personally, I would rather just go with something that's vintage. It can be easier for me to figure out. But if you have a wine that doesn't have a vintage on it and you'd really like to figure out what year it was made, take a picture, send me an email. I'll be happy to help you out with that. You know, maybe we'll be able to figure out something interesting. But in any case, again, no vintage, drink it immediately. Don't think it's something that you can put in the cellar and age for a while. It's probably not. It's made for immediate consumption. So let's get back to wines with vintages. Do they get better with age? Yes, no, not really. Let's put it this way. Over 99% of all the wine you will find at retail is meant to be consumed within 2 years after it's been placed on the shelf. Okay? So, in other words, the amount of time it takes you to drive that bottle of wine from the liquor store back to your home, that's all the aging that bottle needs. So your car trunk or the back of your SUV, that's your cellar, okay? That's your wine cellar. You don't need to age just about every wine that's at retail. Now, just because a wine has a shelf life of 2 years and is drinkable 2 years after it's been placed on the shelf doesn't necessarily mean it's better either. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to give you insider tips that I call the vintage rules. And again, these are rules of thumb. These are just hard, fast, general rules. Of course, there are exceptions, but these are just the general rules that I kind of play by and offer up to people to give them an idea of whether or not they should pick up a bottle of wine. Generally speaking, most of the wines that you're going to find on a wine shop shelf are probably going to be okay to drink, but it really depends. Like, it has to be a pretty good wine shop. There are wine shops out there where maybe not so fine wine shops that buy some wines at closeout, and which means that if they're buying them at closeout from the distributor, that means there's a good chance that they may be a little older. They may be on the way down, not necessarily undrinkable, but maybe not as good as they could be. And then that's why you're listening to this podcast, right? You're listening to this so that you can get those insider tips and get a little bit of a little leg up on other consumers of wine and some of those retailers as well that may be trying to trick you with some of these older vintages. Again, not necessarily bad to find a wine that's a little older, but in many cases, it's not necessarily so great either. If you have ever gone through the discount bin, and you know what I'm talking about, there's like that bin or that barrel somewhere in the wine shop where they have all these discounted bottles and they've got the new price on there. And usually it maybe might be an $18 bottle of wine. For some reason, it's only $10. And you're like, whoa, I got myself a bargain here. Let's just go through this episode and I'll help you identify whether or not that really is a bargain. Okay. So here is hard and fast rule number one. This applies to wines under $20. So $20 or under. If it's a white wine or a pink wine, as in rosé, or a sparkling wine, you will want the vintage date on that wine to be from last year or the year before. Beyond that, you're starting to get into some shaky ground because white wines, rosé wines, and sparkling wines tend to deteriorate fairly quickly, and they are meant to be drunk when they are young and fresh and vibrant. And those characteristics tend to fall away kind of quickly after about a year or two. So you want to find the vintages that are very near to this year. So I'm recording this episode in 2019. That means if I'm buying a white wine or a pink wine or a sparkling wine, I want a vintage 2018. I might stretch to 2017 and still be okay. I would not, generally speaking, go for a wine that has a 2016 or 2015 vintage if I'm spending $20 or less. Okay. And again, yes, there absolutely are some exceptions to this rule. There are some fabulous wines you could buy for $14 or $15 that can age for 4 or 5 years beyond their vintage date and are white wines or pink wines. But generally speaking, again, hard and fast general rule, buy last year's vintage or the year before and drink them immediately. Do not wait. Uncork it right now while you're listening. Of course not. You're in the car because we don't condone drinking and driving, and police officers do not take kindly to seeing a glass of wine on your dashboard. And of course, if you're listening to this on a treadmill, you probably don't want to open up a bottle of wine because you'll spill it all over the place. But generally speaking, you have a white wine, a rosé, open it up, enjoy it. It'll be delicious. And again, within the last 2 years. Now, red wines that are, again, $20 or under, the rule goes one more year. We can go to about 3 years prior to the current year. So again, I'm recording this in 2019. I feel very confident purchasing a red wine that is $20 or under, that is from 2016. I might even stretch it to 2015 in some cases if I know the producer, but generally speaking, I want a red wine that's 2016, 2017. You might find a few red wines from last year, from 2018, and those are perfectly fine. Just generally speaking, you don't want to go far beyond that 2 to 3 years beyond the current year for red wines. And the reason red wines have an extra year or two is because they have a preservative, a natural preservative in them called tannins. And the tannins tend to preserve the fruit for a little bit longer than the white wines that generally do not have tannins. There are other elements that are in red wine that will help preserve the wine, but we don't really need to get into that in this episode. Maybe some future episode when you want to geek out, we'll talk about that. But right now, this is all you really need to know. So again, the under $20 vintage rules, white, pink, sparkling, last year's vintage, ideal. Maybe the year before, that's it. Do not go beyond those 2 years. So if you see something in a discount barrel, it's from 4 years ago, it's a white, leave it alone. It's a discount. It's not a bargain. Just leave it there. Red wines, you can go to about 3 years previous to the current year. Okay, so there you go. Your two hard and fast rules for wines that are $20 and under. Well, what about wines that are over $20? Hey, big spender. Step on up. Here's the very simple answer. It depends. Very generally speaking, a wine that's between $20 to $40, you can probably go maybe 2 to 3 years beyond the vintage date for a white or rosé or sparkling, maybe to a fourth year, probably not. It really depends on, again, on the wine, on the producer, how that wine is made. Some more expensive white wines tend to have a little more barrel age on them, and the barrels actually impart some tannins that do preserve the wine, and their higher acidity will preserve the white wines. And generally speaking, again, I wouldn't really want to go beyond 3 years for a white wine, even if it is between $20 and $40. With red wines, the game changes a little more. You can probably stretch it to 3 to 4 years. So if it's 2019, a 2015, 2014 red wine might be okay. Probably is okay. Probably can take a little age. If it's over $20 to $25 in that $30 range, you're probably going to be okay. You might even be able to stretch it to 5 years and it'll be just fine. But again, it really depends on the variety, the region it comes from, the producer, the winery that makes it. Now, there are some exceptions. First exception I want to get right out of the way is champagne. Champagne is an entirely different conversation than one we're talking right now. Maybe we'll dedicate an entire episode on champagne at some point in the future, but let's just put this out there. Current vintage champagne is often 10 years old. So we're in 2019. I believe the current champagne vintage is 2008. And that's because champagne plays by a whole different set of rules. Champagne houses will age the wine for you before they release it in their own cellars. That's part of the reason why it's so gosh darn expensive, is because they are aging the wine for you in their cellars. The other exceptions are there are wines from Spain and Italy where they do the same thing. They age the wines for you in their cellar. And these wines are generally between $20 and $40, maybe $50. They will have the word reserva on it. And reserva, spelled in Italian, is R-I-S-E-R-V-A. In Spain, it's almost the exact same spelling, except it's R-E-S-E-R-V-A. In either case, If you see Reserva on the label, did you like that accent? I've been practicing all day. Reserva. That means that the winery has aged that wine for you. It's going to have an older vintage on it, and you can drink it immediately, or you can cellar it. Either way, it's going to taste delicious right now. Chianti Classico Reserva, which the current vintage right now is 2015. It's 2019, and the 2015 vintage has just been released. And actually, there are still plenty of bottles of 2014 Chianti Classico Reserva that are tasting just wonderfully right now. So we aged that wine for you. And again, you can drink it now. You can uncork it. It is delicious. It is a great value. It's probably about $20, $25. Great value. You can drink it now. You can also lay it down for maybe 5 to 10 years if that's what you wish to do. It's a really good value, those Reserva wines. And there are great wines from Spain that have a similar, really good quality. Often you'll find them from the Rioja region. I'll do that again. Rioja. I love doing my accents. Rioja. Anyway, so that's what you can do. Same thing with those wines. You can drink them, open them up. They're going to be an older vintage. They're going to be from 2015, 14, 13. You can open them up. They'll be great. And you can also lay them down if you wish. How about another rule of thumb? Again, very general rule of thumb. The more a wine costs, the longer you can age it, and the better it will get as you age. And better, really, that's kind of a subjective term, just like all of wine is subjective. It really depends. Some people love wines that have a lot of age on them, and there are only certain wines that you can do that. And again, these are going to be the more expensive wines. So for example, Brunello di Montalcino, and they are going to cost you anywhere from $75 to $100 or more. And these are wines that are meant to be put in the cellar. Now, again, current vintage here in 2019 is 2014. That was 5 years ago. That's when we can legally, according to Italian law, release a Brunello, is 5 years after the vintage. And when you get it, you can try to drink it now. It's going to be very tight. The geeks like to call it tight. It will be, might even be closed up, which is another geeky term for just saying it's not quite ready. It needs some time in the cellar. So you will take that 2014 Brunello di Montalcino and you will want to put it in your cellar for at least 2 to 3 years before you uncork it. At least 2 to 3 years, maybe 5 years, maybe even 10 years. It will continue to age for 15 years, possibly 20. And it will develop all these different nuances and characters and complexities that are very hard to describe. You kind of have to experience them for yourselves. And some people find these wines of contemplation to be life-changing experiences. It really depends on how serious the people are about their wine. But generally speaking, these are the kind of wines that people are talking about. And this is where that myth of wines get better with age. There are fine wines that get better with age. And really, generally speaking, people are talking about wines that are at least $35 to $40 at minimum. Really, the more expensive wines, they're going to be $50, $60, $70, $100 or more. Those are the wines that really get much better with age as they get to be 15 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old. Now, at the same time, just because a wine like a Brunello di Montalcino needs to be aged for at least 3 to 5 years and may get better after 10 years or 15 years, it doesn't mean you have to wait that long. I would argue that you don't know if you're going to be here that long. So maybe uncork it while you're still around on this earth and can enjoy it. And there are also times where you may wait too long for a wine and you uncork it and find out, oh my goodness, it's missed its peak. There may have been a point where I would have enjoyed it much more if I had opened it 2 years earlier, 5 years earlier. And again, it depends on the wine. It depends on where you're storing the wine, how you're storing the wine. And please, if you don't have ideal cellar conditions to store wine for many years, I really highly suggest that you do not try to cellar a wine unless you have perfect cellar conditions. You really need to either have a natural cellar underneath your house where it's constantly around 58 degrees with good humidity so that the cork stays expanded and doesn't let anything out. Or if you have one of those little wine fridges that you get from Wine Enthusiast or somewhere else. If you don't have ideal conditions for storing wine. I really recommend that you enjoy your wines within even the more expensive fancy schmancy wines. I really recommend that you open those up within a year or so. Don't let them hang around too long, because if they're just hanging around in room temperature or in conditions where the temperature ranges wildly, the wine is going to deteriorate very quickly. So drink up. I really recommend you drink up. If you do have the ability to age wine properly, you don't necessarily have to lay down a wine. Everyone has their different style. It's kind of like dating. Some people, when they're dating, they want to date someone who's right around their age. That's what they're comfortable with. And then there are other people, and you know, the people that I'm talking about, who prefer to date people who are younger. And then there are people who like to date others who are a little older and more mature, and you know what I'm talking about. Personally, I like them younger. And by younger, I'm talking about wines, because I happen to be very happily married, and therefore I have no dating preferences whatsoever, because I'm all set up. But again, it all depends on people's likes and dislikes. Everyone is different. Everyone has their different reasons for liking people or wines, older or younger. And again, like, I tend to prefer wines that are younger. So like a Brunello di Montalcino, that some people might be cellaring their 2011 or 2010 Brunellos for another 5 to 10 years. Those are the wines that I want to drink. I want to drink a Brunello 2012 vintage, 2011, 2010, when it still has some of that vibrancy and some of that raciness and other things that, again, that are hard to put into words if you're not a real cork dork. I like those flavors better now when they're younger, while other people will say, oh goodness, that wine is still in diapers. That's how young it is. Like, you need to lay that down for another 5 to 10 years, because they prefer the more complex, mature flavors that evolve over the years when a red wine is laid down. And again, it's all a matter of personal preference. So you shouldn't feel bad if you open up a wine a little earlier than someone else might. It all depends on what you like. Now, here's the thing. How will you know if you like a wine that has more mature flavors or not? Because, you know, you have to actually have wines that are a little older, or at least taste them. Well, if you're like me, you can't afford to buy some of these wines. I generally can't afford to buy wine that's more than $15. That's why I'm in the wine business, because it gives me the opportunity to go to events and tastings and things to enjoy some of these wines that are a lot more expensive. But if you're like me and you can't buy these wines, what you do is you find a friend who can. That's what you do. And you find a friend who is really into wines and has an extravagant wine cellar and might have some older vintages, and you invite that friend over for dinner and you make them a spectacular meal. And of course, they're going to say, well, what should I bring? You say, please go into your cellar and bring a 10-year-old wine or a 15-year-old wine that you really like that may go with this dish. And that's one way that you can kind of get an idea of whether or not you really enjoy those wines that are more mature and have those more complex and even exotic flavors as they're aged. And again, like right now, I like wines when they're younger, but my preferences could change, and yours could too as you get older. Taste buds, they're like something like 7,000 taste buds in your mouth when you're born, when you start life. But as you get into your 40s and even your 50s, those taste buds tend to disappear and they stop regenerating, and your sense of smell can change. So as a result, your preferences as far as wine and flavors, not just with wine, actually with everything, your flavor preferences can change. And that's why you may see older people who put a lot of hot sauce on their stuff, because they change their flavor profile and they want a little more flavor. They may need a little more kick or whatever. But in any case, another thing that you can do that I know a lot of people do is they find a wine that they really like, a more expensive wine. Again, you want to try and find something that's at least $25 to $30 or more, $40 or more. Buy an entire case, whether it's a 6-pack case or a 12-pack case. Treat yourself, buy an entire case, put it in your cellar. Again, assuming you have perfect cellar conditions, put it in the cellar and take out a wine a year from now, taste it, take notes. Write them down in one of those little snazzy wine tasting books, or type them up on an Excel spreadsheet and put the date, or type them up in Evernote, whatever you choose to use. And just record what you taste, what you experience, and what you enjoy about that wine, and the flavors that you are experiencing, and the aromas that you're smelling. And then 2 years later, open up another bottle from that case and take notes again, and then go back and check if those notes, how those notes have changed or are the same from your notes from the previous 2 years. And then another 2 years, do the same thing. That's how a lot of people learn what their palate really likes when it comes to aging wines. Again, if you have the wherewithal to do this, it's something I do recommend. It's something that can be a lot of fun. You know, you get together with friends and you have little tasting parties. You know, maybe everyone can bring a bottle, and maybe you can compare your notes and everything else. You can really geek out. But, you know, again, maybe that's not you. And if it's not, I hope that this episode has helped you feel a little more confident and a little less intimidated when you walk into a wine shop and you're looking at all those bottles and you're looking through that bargain bin and wondering,
is that really a bargain? So that's it for today. Before you go, please hit the subscribe button or go to insidewinepodcast.com/subscribe. And remember, wine is food. It comes from a place. Please enjoy it responsibly.